First off, let's just take a step back. I haven't spoken to you for a few days. Just for the team holistically, like, how was the transition from, you know, you had that long 34K mass start that, you know, was not a point-to-point race, but it sounded like you guys had a lot of transport during the day. So how did that go for the team and moving to Trondheim and getting settled for stage five, which was today's classic sprint?
Yeah, that transition was remarkably smooth. We started out at 7:30 in the morning on a bus with the women, and that delivered them right next to the race course, right at the start line. They were walked onto the truck, got their skis. Immediately after the 34K race, they were not allowed to cool down. They had to go through the mixed zone and then right onto a bus, which brought them down to the Meyeroker school, where there was indoor soccer facilities and places to jog outside. So all the cool downs happened right outside. That was just a little 10-minute drive in the bus. And everything was, don't want to say Swiss timing, like, but it was like clockwork. Lunch was great, and then at 4:30 they started boarding the bus to go to the train station. You take an hour and a half train to Trondheim, and a marching band met us and walked us to our hotel. 8 minutes. It was a very festive conclusion to the day. It seems like It must have taken months to plan that day by itself. But it was so easy for us as athletes and coaches.
So yeah, from that, you know, the standpoint, we've heard a little bit about like maybe some waxing facility snafus a couple stages ago. And like, I know the Finns have had less than desirable sort of militaristic housing situation. But that said, I mean, it obviously takes a ton to pull off a first time tour like this. So what are, I guess just, as a coach, what are you seeing as the upsides of something like this, which is, you know, Scandinavia centric? You know, there are six stages in Sweden and Norway, which has been good in terms of like me watching and seeing tons of fans out there. But, you know, from your perspective, how does this or does this not kind of fit into a schedule maybe every 3 years or so?
I think it fits great. This is our world championships this year. With the exception of Minneapolis, of course, but it's been really smooth for us. We are starting nine women after six stages, or going into the sixth stage, with only Haley Swerbel, who has abandoned the tour so that she's ready for U23s. we've had our full squad of men up until today, and unfortunately, Simi's got a little head cold, and Kevin will also drop out now with a little bit of a head cold as well. But in general, it's worked great for our team. We've had pretty good results, and like anything else, if you're looking for things to complain about, you're going to find them. But that's just not the style of our team. That's not to say we don't get bummed out from time to time, but the team has been remarkably resilient through the challenges that come with a tour like this, and I'm really proud of that.
Okay, so let's kind of drill down on the women's side today. I mean, no surprise, I think five women in the heats, including Julia Kern, but they all are eliminated in the quarters, which is, you know, atypical now for this team. And usually it's been like, you know, Sophie in the finals or a host of other folks in the semis or in advancing to the finals. So kind of like collectively, what do you think was going on there?
Yeah, interesting. Just a quick synopsis. You know, it was a high level qualification for our team to put five in there. Nobody was in the top 10, I don't think, in terms of qualification, but we were really happy to get five in there. But it was one of our worst, if not the worst, set of heats of the year. And it's really difficult to, as a coach, we always try and find the answer and the reason. And I think wax techs tend to err on the side that the skis were good, and coaches tend to err on the side that the skis were not the reason. but to be fair to everyone, I don't really know what happened today. There's so many variables, including skis on a crazy weather day like today, as well as including athletes that are really tired. So it's really hard to say, and I don't think it matters this far into the tour to find that reason.
Okay. Okay. I mean, objectively, like watching, and you know, there were big glide outs in a couple of sections, and I mean, it's hard to say, right, for me a billion miles away, like, well, maybe they didn't have the glide speed or maybe they were slipping, but that seems not to be an obvious, like, yeah, we botched this or botched that when it came to skis, comes to skis.
That's right. That's right. And I think at the very least, the skis were good. But to get through the quarters, you need great skis, bodies that are not tired.
Sure. Yeah, right. And what does it say maybe specifically about this course? I mean, I thought it was a cool course, you know, very spectator friendly. There were billions of people and it sort of seemed to be terraced, you know, and concentrated so that a lot of the action was visible by the fans. But Johaug qualifies in, and here I'm just sort of getting your general observations. You know, I think Johaug qualifies in third today.
That's right.
Which, you know, we all know she's a machine, but she's not necessarily considered, you know, way up in qualification. But what does that maybe say, not necessarily about her, but about the course?
Yeah, well, to answer the question that you didn't ask, Johaug is on fire like she's never been. And that's really saying something. So it did surprise me that she qualified third because these are big power striding, you know, where you can really kick your old school kind of classic technique and do really well. And I thought it would serve the lengthier skiers better today, but it in fact didn't appear to matter to her. There's big, long working sections and then big, long recovery sections. It's not particularly interesting from a technical standpoint, but from a spectator friendly perspective, it was awesome. Let's see, what else is there? Oh, you know, the kind of a interesting piece, just so you know, is the weather today was crazy.
Oh yeah, I wanted to ask, because you know, when I first started watching, I'm like, wow, it looks like a postcard day in Trondheim. And then at the start, or like somewhere early in the men's quarterfinals, like that big snow squall came in. What happened there? Or I know what happened, I suppose, but how did that sort of play, wreak havoc on the situation?
Yeah, when the Wax-Tec showed up, it was just bulletproof tracks, great glister skiing. And then right as the athletes were arriving, it just started dumping and snowed. A somewhat dry centimeter of snow. And then that stopped. And by the time the women were done warming up and started their qualification, it was kind of back to almost the entire field being on glister. There were a few sets of Harrys out there, even on our team. I think there was one set, but it turned into great glister skiing and was that way again until a couple squalls midway through the men's quarterfinals when the lucky loser position was no longer reachable. The heats just slowed down by about 5 seconds, I think, between the third and fourth men's quarter.